As the state prepares to enter a new decade and an election year with an interesting governor's race, we wanted to take a moment to reflect on all that's happened in Washington in 2019. Joining me live to talk about this is Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins. Austin, one of the biggest issues in the state this year happened last month and is still happening. I'm talking about the passage of Initiative 976, the car tabs reduction measure approved by voters in the November election, but is now the subject of a legal challenge.
You know, Kirsten, we could have been having this conversation in 1999 or in 2002 or today, if you'd like, because in each of those years, Washington voters passed a Tim Iman $30 car tabs measure. It was promptly challenged in court. After I-695 passed in 1999, the measure was tossed out by the courts, but the legislature later came back and repealed the motor vehicle excise tax to give drivers some car tab relief. Then in 2002, I-776 passed. It was thrown out by then King County Superior Court Judge Mary Yu, who is now on the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court later reversed that decision and refunds were actually sent out to motorists. But then a couple years later, the High Court also allowed Sound Transit to continue collecting nearly $3 billion in car tab fees through 2028. So $30 car tab initiatives from Tim Iman are nothing new. Court rulings blocking them are nothing new. What is new is that this year, Tim Iman is fighting to save I-976 while also having declared himself a candidate for governor.
Right. And with him running, it certainly makes the race interesting, along with the fact that Governor Jay Inslee is running for a third term.
Yes. I've been saying that 2020 is setting up as a strange year, at least when it comes to the governor's race. You have a rare situation where the incumbent, Inslee, is making a play for a third term. The state's one and only three-term governor was Dan Evans, who left office in 1977. I will tell you, I was in elementary school then. So this is rare and unusual. It's also scuttled the plans of many up-and-coming Democrats who are ready to make a run for higher office in 2020. So now they're left cooling their heels. It's also setting up a strange year because Republicans have not yet been able to field a well-known challenger to Inslee. There are candidates, but nobody that's sort of got statewide name recognition. And now to cap it all off, Iman, the embattled perennial anti-tax initiative sponsor who's embroiled in a campaign finance lawsuit with the Attorney General's office, who was caught on camera in February taking an office chair from Office Depot, says he's running for governor as an independent. Could it all get any weirder?
I don't think it can, but I say that and it may. So we'll see.
We will see. There's still a few months to go.
Speaking of Inslee, he ran for president for a time this year. Talk about his bid.
Well, his campaign certainly never really got liftoff. He never got above 1% in the polls. But as a candidate, Inslee certainly impressed a lot of Democrats as he traveled the country. He held his own on the national debate stage alongside much higher profile candidates. I think he was really energized by having a national platform to talk about his signature issue of climate change. And while he didn't get far in the race, he got himself and his issue out there. He put out detailed policy papers that others have since cribbed from. At the same time, he was criticized for the cost associated with the State Patrol security detail that went with him as he traveled the country. Taxpayers, not his campaign, were picking up the bulk of that bill. Jim Bruner of the Seattle Times and I reported extensively on the cost and the fact that the State Patrol had to increase the size of the unit that protects the governor in order to meet the demands of that travel schedule. But Inslee was kind of unapologetic, and he kept on doing it. And then, of course, he got out of the race.
All right. So moving on to the issue of affirmative action, it was prominent in Washington this year, both in the legislature and on the ballot.
Yes, it was. In 1999, Washington voters passed Initiative 200. That was a Tim Iman-sponsored measure that was billed as an anti-discrimination initiative, but effectively banned affirmative action in the state. So flash forward nearly 20 years, supporters of affirmative action put an initiative to the legislature before the legislature. The legislature passed it. We often don't see that. Then opponents gathered the signatures for a referendum measure, and in November, voters did not uphold that new law. I don't think this issue is going away, Kirsten. I could see supporters coming back. I could also see I-200 being repealed at some point in the legislature.
Wanted to briefly touch on some of the stories you did extensive reporting on this year, Austin. First, the public radio investigation of deaths in jails in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes, and that was a team effort across the region. We built a database and discovered that 306 people had died in county jails in Washington and Oregon since 2008. We looked at the fact that suicide is the leading cause of death. We looked at the deplorable condition that many jails across the states are in because they were built in the 1980s. We looked at the disproportionate number of deaths among Native American inmates. And really, I think it prompted a conversation. Already, laws have changed in Oregon around jail conditions and jail oversight. And we'll have some more stories before the year's out.
All right, Austin, thanks so much.
You're welcome.